Thanks for downloading this podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be rebroadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by searching iTunes for Radio Le Mans or visiting radiolemans.com.
Live from Trackside, this is IMSA Radio.
Hello everybody and welcome along to our live coverage of the first competitive session of the WeatherTech 240 from Daytona. Great to have your company. It's John Hindhoff in the Hagerty Global Broadcast Centre. In a moment or two's time, we'll be bringing sound and vision together on IMSA Radio and IMSA TV or via our special IMSA Live page at radio-show.co.uk, and we've got live timing on there as well. I'll be joined by Shea Adam and Jeremy Shaw as we are, well, really quite excited, to be honest. We had a bit of bonus coverage yesterday. There's free practice one, there's been free practice two. We'll bring you up to date with all of that at IMSA Radio if you want to get in touch with us here at the Hagerty Global Broadcast Centre. If you want to watch some pictures, it's time to tune in now to IMSA TV as we bring both services together for qualifying from Daytona.
The WeatherTech Sports Car Championship on IMSA Radio.
Well, hello everybody and welcome along as we bring together the family of IMSA broadcasting networks, IMSA Radio and IMSA TV together. Slightly overcast day at Daytona International Raceway with 5,000 fans allowed into the motor racing venue that we know and love in Daytona, Florida. Just over the back from DAB, Daytona Airport. It is the road circuit down off the tri-oval into Turn 1. And these great names that we're getting used to, the International Horseshoe, the Kink, the West Horseshoe, then through the Speedway corners and down through the bus stop and then back around the circuit. It looks a fairly simple layout, but it's nuanced. And the infield section actually isn't as easy as it looks. There's off-camber turns and all kinds of things going on. We've already got cars in the pit lane, not engines running just at the moment. Let's bring you up to date with what's been going on first of all before we get the green flag in a moment or two's time for the first of three 15-minute qualifying sessions. It will be the GT3s, the Daytona GT Daytona cars, should I say, that will be going out first. Shea Adam is, as ever, has been patrolling the pit lane for us, although at a socially distanced and responsible level, Shea. What's the news from the pit lane? First of all, a couple of important cars that aren't here this weekend that we would have liked to have seen in GTD. No, we're not pointing any criticism implied or any other way at those who've not turned up, but there's a couple of significant cars not in the pit lane that we might have expected to see.
Correct. The first of those to begin with is the 48 Paul Miller Racing Lamborghini. They won the Rolexes back in January, not here this weekend to try and defend the win in the July race. Joining them in the list of absentees, the 19 Gear Racing Grasser Lamborghini. That's Christina Nielsen and Catherine Legg. They are not taking part in the championship with that team anymore. Gear still exists, but it is no longer going to be a Lamborghini when they do come back to the track. And I know these ladies are out there listening. So hi, Kat. Hi, Christina. Miss you both. We are also missing the Black Swan Porsche, which finished fifth at the Rolex. The Wright Porsche, we were expecting a second one to come in for the sprint races only. That has been called off for the season. Pfaff Motorsport are Canadians who sat on the pole position with Zach Robichaud back in January. They did not make it down across the border with their Porsche. The heart of racing, Aston Martin, car number 23 for Alex Riberas and Roman De Angelis, that too is not racing this weekend. We have a couple more cars that were expected to be endurance only, but of course, this is a sprint race. This is only 2 hours and 40 minutes. So for the people we do have in the pit lane, and right now there are 12 of those GTD cars, championship is wide open.
Jeremy Shaw, welcome along again. Good to have your company to 12 cars, 9 manufacturers, exactly the kind of variety we like to see. And there's a new team, at least a new name for a team. Gradient Racing brings another NSX to the party. Welcome to them.
Yeah, indeed. So welcome to them. Welcome to also to this team. We're on looking at the onboard now. That's Rob Ferriol in the team Hardpoint Audi, a brand new team and car to this series. Also new to the WeatherTech Sprint Cup Series, which is this is the first round of that in GTD for the Compass Racing McLaren. That team's first ever run here at Daytona was just yesterday.
Yeah, the big learning curve for the McLaren team that have come down out of Canada to base themselves in the US to avoid any issues. Both of the AVS, the Invasa Sullivan Lexus, running the 12 and the 14 cars in a very patriotic livery for the Lickman Molly Turner BMW with Bill Oberlin and Robbie Foley. Bill Oberlin going for an extraordinary record this season, Jeremy Shaw, to become the most successful sports car racer in American sports car history.
That's right. History goes back a long, long way. And up until the final race of last year, there'd been 999 different race winners or class winners, but tied at the top for number wins, having won at Petit Le Mans, the final race of last year. That was Bill Oberlin tying the record that was set several years ago by Scott Pruett, who's of course since retired. Bill, though, has not, and that car is, well, it's always fast, but the green flag is out now for this qualifying session.
So we have got 14 and a half minutes, and Ryan Hardwick has driven to the penalty box. Now, I thought he was meant to stay in his pit box for 3 minutes. This may cause another issue, the reason being that car came out in the final practice session when the track was closed to GTD cars and tried to get a sneaky other lap in. I'm not seeing that at all, indeed. But they will miss the first 3 minutes of the session, and we'll keep an eye on that. 44 out very early on for the Magnus Lamborghini. And remember, these are quick fire sessions. 44 taken out by John Potter. And remember that you have to have the silver or bronze driver qualifying. So you're not allowed the full pro gold driver, no platinum drivers. I don't share that any platinum drivers. You're not allowed a platinum driver now, are you, in the GT Daytona? Or is that in GS? See, my mind's.
Absolutely right, John. Yes, it has to be the silver drivers who qualify in GTD in the two non-professional classes. LMP2, of course, not here this weekend. They will be out at Sebring in a couple of weeks' time. So, but yes, for GTD, it's a silver or bronze rated drivers that must qualify the car.
So Long, Villanda, Parente are the platinum drivers who are here. Just a bit of news, actually, as the 3 minutes has still about a minute to go, according to the stopwatch on our IMSA official. Say again, Jeremy?
3 hours, it feels.
Yeah,
like.
Yeah, no, it will do, sitting still, absolutely. Can we just, by the way, celebrate the fact that we've got 26 cars on the circuit, an extraordinary effort by IMSA to put all of the right health and safety measures into operation, and also the, as I said, no criticism at all of any teams that haven't turned up for either financial or any other worries. But for the 26 teams and cars who have turned up, then hats off to all of them for making the effort. Down to about 30 seconds now before the right Porsche pulls back out onto the circuit. A quick note, Jeremy, you mentioned there about the LMP2. They're back with us the next round, or the next race, is out goes the right Porsche with the red, white and blue. Well, in fact, it's the Stars and Stripes, stripes roof on that. Very sort of Conrad teal blue colour on that. Almost a Miami blue, but not quite. Just a little greener than that. Simon Trimmer, who we thought was committed to the LMP2 Championship with IMSA, having got their championship schedule out before the European Le Mans series, and he had said that he was going to be driving at Sebring and doing the full season over in the States. And in fact, Algarve Pro Racing had already organised a substitute for him for Paul Ricard, but I think the vagaries of travelling backwards and forwards to the States and the quarantine, which still applies coming back from the US to Europe, is rather prepared for that. And Simon Trimmer is staying in Europe and therefore will be competing in the European Le Mans Series. So he will be back in the car for the test and the race at Ricard in a couple of weeks' time. We will have coverage of that from Johnny Palmer and Bruce Jones in the next couple of weeks. And in fact, I'll be talking to Stuart Cox of Algarve Racing on Midweek Motorsport next week or the week after. Nice to see the Stars and Stripes livery on the 4th of July as the number 14 Lexus, which is the one with the big mobile one on the door behind the number, is heading out onto the banking. Its team car already coming through the tri-oval. That's the number 12 machine. Early doors so far. Before we start getting any excitement, Jeremy, not all plain sailing in the final free practice session. We had a bit of bonus coverage of the Friday session, and we all watched the session that went on earlier today at Daytona. And a slightly worrying tyre issue for the number 10 DPI with, I think, Renger van der Zande. They only did 8 laps behind the wheel of that, and Renger with damage to the inside shoulder of that, and managed to avoid hitting the wall coming down into the bus stop. Looked a very nasty incident.
Indeed so, yeah. It was, we'll get to that, I'm sure, once the DPI comes out on track. We've already got lap times down now for the GTD cars. Initially, it was Aaron Tielitz who set the fastest time. It was Aaron also who was quickest in the session this morning. He turned a 146.6 in car number 14. That compares to the lap record in qualifying that was set earlier this year by Zach Robichaud of 145.2. Both of the Lexus immediately up to speed. Frankie Montecavo goes up to the top, and now with the first of the drivers to complete 3 laps, it's Robbie Foley who goes fastest in GTD in car number 96 for Turner Motorsports. And as I say that, is Aaron Tielitz back to the top again. 147.560 for Aaron Tielitz in car number 14. Clearly his baggage arrived. He was travelling, like everybody else, was travelling for the first time in months from his home in Wisconsin to get down to Daytona yesterday. And the airline managed to lose his bag. But it's going well, much better since then.
At RSL underscore studio, hello from Germany, says Jan 007. Great to hear race car engines again from Daytona. Shea, you were talking to the Konica Minolta team, and when that tyre went, that was a sizable speed that Renger was going. He did very well to keep that car off the wall.
Yeah, I sent a quick note off to Renger and said, hey, are you okay? That had to have been a scary incident. And he goes, yeah, no problems, you know, just 310 kph when a tire didn't do its job anymore. So it was a bit of a scary moment for Renger, but you've got to consider, this is a guy who's won the Rolex 2 out of the last 2 years, so he knows how to save a car at Daytona.
That's getting on for 190 miles an hour. Corey Fergus goes to the top for McLaren, the new 720S GT3, the Compass Racing number 76 on the high banks of Daytona in that Lark style livery. It looks absolutely stunning in the evening sunshine. Of course, very different conditions here than we would have had at the Rolex 24 in January. Much, much warmer and a lot lighter as well, with sunset for race day as it is today, qualifying and racing all day, all on the same day today, and we're well over halfway through already. Sunset just before 8:30, half eight this evening, 8:27 I think Shea told me yesterday that was. I should have written that down, but I didn't. And now Tielitz back to the top for Lexus. Now McLaren back to the top as Corey Fergus goes through the tri-oval. Exactly what we want to see, Jeremy Shaw, with the top half dozen within three quarters of a second.
Yeah, that's right. And we've still got 6 minutes remaining. Time's continuing to come down as these GTD drivers get up to speed here. Good job by both those two. Corey Fergus, of course, making his debut in the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship this weekend. He's driven at McLaren for the last couple of years in the Michelin Pilot Challenge for the MIA team. Not missing in action, motorsport in action here from Canada, but stepping up to the GT3 car for the first time. And wow, what a great debut for that team at Daytona, with him at the top at the moment. 147.015 for Corey Fergus, whose father John, of course, was a very successful IMSA racer a few years ago. Aaron Tielitz said second, just over a tenth of a second back in number 14 Lexus at 147.1. third quickest now is Cooper McNeil, who's done a 147.5 in number 63 WeatherTech Ferrari. And Cooper McNeil, he's probably one of the few drivers in this whole field here this weekend who's actually done a fair bit of driving during the lockdown. He was testing his Ferrari Challenge car at WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca a couple of weeks ago.
It's Jeremy Shaw, Shea Adam, and I'm John Hindorf. This is the Hagerty Global Broadcast Centre, and we're into the last 5 minutes already. Doesn't time fly when you're enjoying yourself? And all going long into the first corner. That is the number 22. That's the Gradient Racing Till Bechtelsheimer, up to eighth position, by the way, in the NSX, but going a little long, just being a little ambitious as he came down over the transition, learning very quickly indeed. Till Unit Nutrition sponsored red, white and blue livery on that number 22 car, and he's ahead of Ryan Hardwick of Wright Motorsports, John Potter from GRT Magnussen, Team Hardpoints, Rob Ferriol. In fact, just dropped down into 10th position. Still in 9th position.
Yeah, great job by Till there. Really impressive. The car looks pretty striking, doesn't it, in that livery? But here is Corey Fergus. He's already into the pit lane.
I think he's
done.
He
clearly thinks he's... Yes, absolutely, he is done, John. With only 4.5 minutes remaining, wouldn't have time, I don't think, now to leave the pits and get around and start another flying lap. So that's a really, really good effort by Corey Fergus. And what a debut it could be for him in his first ever race in this championship.
That was his quickest. That was Till Bechtelsheimer's quickest lap when he overshot turn one. So got so excited when he saw the time on the Delta on the screen that he forgot a brake for turn one. Wright Motorsports still trying to improve as well. In fact, who has just improved? That was Ryan Hardwick, who's improved up into eighth position. So that pushes Gar Robinson down to ninth for Riley in the AMG, and Till down to 10th position. Compass with a scant 10th of a second on Ian Vassar-Sullivan. Corey Fergus over Aaron Tielitz. And Aaron, a driver that you know very well, Jeremy, and has snagged a full season drive, and is really deserving of that opportunity with AVS.
Very much so, yeah. I mean, he was super impressive when he drove last year at Daytona. Did the long-distance races last year, and again with the team this year for the Rolex 24 at Daytona. Really, really good young guy, Aaron. He puts his heart and soul into his racing. Was married towards the end of last year as well, but he hasn't taken any focus away from his racing, and he's done a really, really good job. There's Ryan Hardwick, though, just in on screen coming into the bus stop chicane in that Wright Motorsports Porsche, the teal coloured car. And for Ryan, of course, not very good memories from a year ago. Not at this racetrack, of course, but at Canadian Tire Motorsport Park, had a huge crash, and that put him out for the rest of the season. So great to see Ryan back here and getting up to speed. You know, he's only a second and a half away from the fastest time in this session, so that's a pretty good effort, I would say, for Ryan Hardwick.
It's Jeremy Shaw, it's Jay Adam and John Heindorf for IMSA Radio. At IMSA Radio, we're in the Hagerty Global Broadcast Centre bringing you live coverage of qualifying for the WeatherTech 240. Round two, effectively, of the 2020 IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. But round one of the Sprint Championship for GT Daytona. And if you were listening to Midweek Motorsport over on RS1, earlier on this week, you will have heard Till Bechtelsheimer saying the only reason that that number 22 graded car is in the field is the initiative of bringing the Sprint Championship shorter races and a shorter season as a parallel championship to the big show for IMSA, which effectively has the main championship, the WeatherTech Championship, and then a short race championship, the Sprint Championship, and an endurance race championship as well. So you pay your money literally and you take your choice. They've been racing in another championship with that car, and Mark Miller alongside him has a lot of experience and Till learning very quickly indeed, still holding on the 10th position as he pits. Top three are in the pits: Compass, AIM and Turner Motorsport, McLaren, Lexus, BMW, half a second between the top three. Frankie Monte Calvo is in fourth position, 0.487 of a second back from the pole position. Then Cooper McNeil in the white, red and blue Scuderia Corsa Ferrari, the WeatherTech car. He's still only 6/10 away from pole position. And Matt McMurray from Mayshank Racing in the first of the Acuras is only 3/4 of a second away.
That's right, and McNeil and McMurray are both in the pits now. So only Frankie Monte Calvo of the top six cars is still out on the racetrack. That's in car number 12, the second of the AIM Vassar Sullivan Lexus and here's the car now. Looks like he's slowing down, bringing that car into the pits. But it's been a good run by Frankie. The two cars there are second and fourth at the moment.
So down into the last 14 seconds, the door is open on Corey Fergus, and that is it's been a long wait. He came in with 3 minutes to go, over 3 minutes to go. He's going to put his gloves back on as the checkered flag comes out. Who's out there who might be improving? Good lap from Misha Goitberg last time around for the 57, 147.7, 147.8 for Wright Motorsports and Ryan Hardwick. John Potter sees the checkered flag first for the Lamborghini Huracan, that lovely shades of blue on that car. Gar Robertson dives into the pits. That's 9th and 10th. Riley Motorsports AMG in 9th and 10th for the Lamborghini.
Excuse me, John. Good improvement there for John Potter on that final lap. Got himself up into the top 10 just ahead of Till Bechtelsheimer. The two Mayshank Acuras, number 86 car, that was in the pits a little while ago for Matt McMurray. Misha Goitberg, though, he's within 0.02 of a second of McMurray's time last time around. He's still out there as well. Can he improve on this final lap?
What a way to announce your debut in the WeatherTech Championship for Corey Lewis. Here comes the right car. Corey Fergus, excuse me, in that car. And here comes the right Porsche, just picking up a little bit of late afternoon, early evening sunshine for that car. Is he improving? 147.8 was his best the last time around, but I don't think he's going to improve. He might even peel off into the pits here, Jeremy, as he comes out of Speedway Turn 4.
I think you're right, John. I don't think he's quite up to speed on this particular lap. Yeah, he's ducking down below the two lines there coming onto the pit lane. So qualifying is done. Well, what a great debut for the 32-year-old Richard from Columbus, Ohio. Lives now in Colorado. For a long time, he was a salesman for the Buyers Porsche in Columbus. Now lives in Colorado, as I say, but second generation racer. What a fantastic debut for Corey Fergus. Second in the championship last season in the Michelin Pilot Challenge in a McLaren, but this is first competitive drive in a GT3 car. Well done, Corey Fergus.
That's brilliant stuff. And what a debut for McLaren, and that 720 SGT3. We're going to try and get a word with Paul Holton down in the paddock area as Corey Fergus will fire that car up. He's got to plug himself back in again. Oh no, he's getting out. He's getting out where he is. He's because of the social distancing, of course. Sorry, go ahead.
He's allowed to do that, is he now?
Yes, I think
previously
so.
Wouldn't he be, would he?
No. And notice everybody wearing the masks on pit lane. A 30, nearly 40 page operations manual.
That's Jill Beck there giving the giving a hug there to Corey Fergus, one of the team principals here, along with Carl Thompson. Team based originally in Canada, but they've got a base now down now in San Diego. In fact, they've got a new sponsor for this weekend, Ebullient, which is a what sounds like an interesting brewery. It's a craft brewery from San Diego area, and they're carrying on the colours this weekend. The Compass POG, which is basically made out from passion fruit, orange, and guava, and a splash of hazy IPA. Love it. I think it might be time for a couple of those this evening. What do you think, John?
Sounds like a bit too many carbs for me. Bit of cleanup going on at the moment. Let's see if we can. Right, I'll tell you what we'll do. Shea's just trying to get hold of Paul Holton, celebrating their pole position. And we'll see if we can get hold of him in a moment. So let's go through. Then it is Corey Fergus on pole position. And I think we do have Paul Holton with Shea Adam right now. Go ahead, Shea.
Hi there.
Moment.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
I'm good. You?
Good. What a way for Compass Racing to come back, huh? After the winter break, not running the Rolex. You guys come out with a pole position. Congrats.
Yeah, you know, that was, I don't want to say unexpected. I mean, McLaren tends to make good low drag top end cars. So I definitely think this is our track. We weren't really, I mean, we've never tested here. IMSA didn't have any data on us here. We don't even have a Daytona gearbox. We're running our FIA gear set. So I think we're all really, really, really happy about that.
That's even more impressive than when you consider coming out with limited practice and a gear set that's not even aimed for the track. But clearly the car feels good. You guys feel like if it stays dry, you've got a good shot at this win?
Yeah, I think actually dry or wet, we've got a good shot. Corey actually did a ton of time in the wet when we were testing back in March. So he's really, really comfortable in the car. I've driven the car a ton in Europe, and we know it's wetter than all hell there. So I really think no matter what happens, we've got a really good position to fight for a race win today.
How important is it to be starting at the front for this race, especially since it's a sprint and the competition is so tight?
Well, you know, it's like I've never raced the Rolex 24 hours, so I don't quite understand the survival aspect. I'm used to this 2 hour and 40 minute kind of sprint race. So as usual, qualifying super, super important. There's only 26 cars. Most likely we're going to go green the whole time. That was the kind of the trend last year. So to see that happen today would not be unexpected.
Yeah. Thanks for chatting with us, Paul. Good luck in the race later, and give Corey a big fist bump from us all.
Thanks, Jay. I will do. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, big fist bump. Very good indeed. We're all having to get used to different things. Well done, Shea Adam. Our first pit lane report of the resumption of play, if you will, for the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. And, I mean, what a session. McLaren, Lexus, BMW, Lexus, Ferrari, Acura, Porsche and Mercedes-AMG in the top nine, with Lamborghini making up the top 10. So pretty much the Audi at the back, hard point, Rob Ferriol down in 12th position. But Jeremy, got to say, that's a pretty decent qualifying session for all concerned there.
Yeah, very definitely. And certainly for Rob Ferriol too, he'll be disappointed to be at the back of the field for sure. But hey, look, his best lap there is only 2 seconds off. That's not a million miles against the guys ahead of him, all of whom have a lot more experience. I mean, even Till Bechtelsheimer, who didn't start, you know, started racing not that long ago, and most of his racing has been in vintage cars, perhaps, but he's still got 2 or 3 years now of, well, at the very least, semi-professional racing under his belt. So, yeah, I think for Rob, he'll be pretty happy with that, and certainly knowing that he has Spencer Pumpelly with whom to share that number 30 car, that's going to be a good run for him. But hats off to Corey Fergus. I mean, what a great run that was. And, you know, for his dad, John, I tell you what, he'll be over the moon. John was a former IMSA GTU champion, got 13 wins under his belt as well. So there's no one who'd be cheering louder down in that pit lane than John Fergus.
At IMSA Radio, if you'd like to get in touch with us here in the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre. Shea Adam, we're getting ready to go GT Le Mans qualifying. A small but perfectly formed field, and it was very competitive as we've been watching them through the first couple of free practice sessions. Who's doing the qualifying? Let's start with Porsche.
How about we start with the car that was fastest at the end of the last session? That was Mr. Nick Tandy, who came through to pip the fastest time away from the Corvette drivers. And it is Nick Tandy going for his third consecutive pole position at Daytona. He got the last two for the Rolex. He thinks it'd be pretty cool to get three within 18 months. Yes, those of you watching the video might notice in 912, that was Larry's helmet. Lawrence Vantour qualified just about every single race last year, which resulted in he and Earl Bamber getting the Porsche GT team a championship. They're sticking with it. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. So Larry is qualifying for 912.
Okay, so the two Porsches we know. What about the Corvettes? Let's start with the number four. I recognize a helmet from a man from Yardley Hastings in that year.
Exactly. It is Team America who is waiting to finish this race. Tommy Milner hoping to bring it home at the checkered flag with the win on the 4th of July for the man who lives just outside of Washington, D.C. But it is his English compatriot, Oliver Gavin, who's trying to get another pole position at Daytona. He did get one, but that was a few years back now. Ollie looking to try and get another one. And the first pole position for the C8R, we'll see if he can do it. Or perhaps it would be his even more Team America teammate, Jordan Taylor, who is taking up qualifying duties for the first time in his career in the number three Corvette. So that means that Antonio Garcia will be finishing in the yellow one.
I do like the two different colours of those cars. Let's go to BMW. Two different colours there as well. Black and red. Black is the Motul-sponsored number 24 car share.
And that is the car that took victory back in December, in January, when conditions were very, very different. They were a lot better for the Iceman. Well, Jesse Krohn is going to be melting in that car right now, but he is the one who's been given qualifying duties for this one to try and maintain BMW's position at the front of the field with the Forza Alex sticker on the side. Everybody from BMW Team RLL thinking about Alex Zanardi, their teammate, who actually drove that 24 BMW 2 years ago at Daytona. In the sister car, the car that won 2 years ago at the Rolex 24 Hours of Daytona, it was not Bruno Spengler behind the wheel then. It was Conor DeFilippi, but Bruno, the Canadian, another one of those guys who's not going to be loving these conditions. He had been the one who was assigned to go out for qualifying, but that looks a heck of a lot like Conor DeFilippi's helmet. So I'm going to have to get on my phone and send some text messages as I don't know who's actually in that one.
Okay, we'll check when they roll out. Can we just say hello to Jens Klingmann as well, BMW driver extraordinaire down through the years, who had a nasty incident on his pedal bike. See, if it hasn't got a handbrake or a motor, really, it's going to be dangerous. Canoes, horses, pedal bikes, really. Broken both his wrists recently. Jens, we wish you all the best. That happened whilst he was at the BMW training camp. he was actually on duty for BMW. That's going to take a little while before he is back in a car. Jens, we wish you all the best on that. We're back to green flag for the second of two of the GT sessions, this time GT Le Mans, and straight out the number three Corvette with, did we put Jordan in that car? Is that who you said, Shea?
Yes, we did.
Yes. Yep. And that is Bruno qualifying, as Conor DeFilippi has just texted Shea Adam to let them know. A quick word here as well to say thank you very much indeed to all the teams, drivers, and particularly the public relations and marketing reps who are in touch with Shea so we can get plenty of news from down in the paddock, which of course is all nice and socially distanced at the moment. Even the PRs aren't allowed down there. The ones who are inside the circuit are on the in the press room in its old spot. New building, but where it used to be on the far side, not too far along from our regular broadcasts centre, actually. So Corvette out and running early on, Jeremy Shaw. Do we read anything into this?
Yeah, no, other than they're chomping at the bit and ready to get going again. This is going to be a fun session. You talked about Nick Tandy having set that fastest time in the session earlier on today. That was the final lap around that Nick did that. Other than that, it would have been the Corvettes at the top, but it was super tight. The top three cars, the 911 Porsche and the two Corvettes, were covered by less than 0.2 seconds. Then the BMWs were another couple of tenths back. And then rounding out the field was number 912 Porsche. But look, this is absolutely anybody's game in this 15-minute qualifying session.
Live from the Hagerty Global Broadcast Centre, Shea Adam is bringing us all the news from the pits and the paddock. Jeremy Shaw and John Hindhoff watching this qualifying session, which is already under 12 minutes to run. Both the Corvette Racing C8Rs, the new mid-engined cars, not going to Le Mans, concentrating on the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. No Dan Binks, of course, having taken the opportunity of what the responsible adult has called the big pause to end his career at Corvette Racing. Irreplaceable, I would say. There is not another Dan Binks. You can't just conjure another man with that kind of experience out of nowhere, particularly with the team in itself, Jeremy Shaw. But the man who has got that unenviable task has got a fair bit of experience in racing in America.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, John. The Grant Weaver has taken the place as the crew chief there at Corvette Racing, and Grant, he spent many years with Chip Ganassi Racing on all of their different programs. Before that, he was at TWR going way, way back with the Jaguars at IMSA. So he knows all about winning race cars in every form of racing, so couldn't be a better guy. We're certainly going to miss Dan, though, but what a character he has been over all these years. And Dan, happy retirement. I'm not sure you're going to be able to stay away from the racetrack, but hats off if you can. I mean, the whole Binks family has he's involved in racing in one way, shape or form. So and his son's out here as well, isn't he, it's brilliant, though. But what opportunity is for these two Corvette drivers? This new C8R, what a beautiful piece of kit it is, and it is fast.
Yeah, and they've really had to hit the ground running with the debut just one race ago. But what a debut it was in the Rolex 24 Hours. They would have expected to have a few more miles under their wheels as out rolls the 912. This is the Earl Bamber and Lawrence Vanter car, and it is Larry. So they're doing what they've done to great effect in the last few years. Lawrence Vanter concentrates on setting the car up and qualifying. Earl Bamber concentrates on setting the car up for the longer race run. So Larry will do the first stint, and then Earl will double stint to the end of the race in the shorter sprint races. Remember, we might be at Daytona, but it's only a 2 hour and 40 minute race, and the Porsche's going out together with Nick Tandy. Hello to everybody at JTR, not too far away from Hindhoff Towers down in Bedfordshire, and the stealth JTR branding on the back of the 968 we were just talking about the other day. Smashing set of lads now can get down to some proper work now that the boss is back to his day job. But he's really been annoying them in the workshop this last few months. Tandy then out at the International Horseshoe, just behind his teammate as they're getting up to speed. Excuse me, at the West Horseshoe as they head out on the track. Ollie Gavin with a 1:43.5 is the benchmark so far, with Jordan Taylor and a 1:43.9. For Jordan, what sort of times are we expecting to see, Jeremy? They are running because of the time of year, because of the expected heat. They're running the Michelin or they're expected to be running the Michelin compounds, much more tyre choice here in GT Le Mans, but they're expecting to be running the warmer compound tyres, which makes them a little bit harder. What's the times we're expecting to see?
1:42.2 was a lap record set by Nick Tandy in qualifying for the Rolex 24 in January. 1:42.990 was the best lap he did this morning in practice. Interesting to me, though, we saw the Corvettes out there from the beginning of the session. The two Porsches went out with about 9 minutes remaining in this qualifying session. BMWs, they're still on pit lane.
Yeah, and we've seen cars...
They often, particularly the BMW Team RLL cars, they often wait until the latter stages before going out, but they're cutting it, it's awfully late now. We're inside 7.5 minutes in this session, so we're more than halfway through it.
But we have often seen the Corvettes run the whole 15 minutes, Jeremy, and what we'll also see about the Michelin tyres, by the way, is... These 15-minute sessions tend to be what I would call an old-fashioned session. You fill the car up for the whole session, and you should be getting quicker. Yeah, all right, there's a performance drop-off on the tyre, as any tyre would be, but the car's getting lighter, and we've often seen last man across the line take the pole position exactly as it should be.
You're absolutely right. That is exactly what happens. I mean, these Michelin tyres, particularly on these GT LM cars, are very, very durable. I mean, they really are good. They last a long time. They're fast. And as you say, these cars just getting better and better. The fuel load gets burned off. And, the drivers are absolutely at one with themselves, the car and the racetrack.
Fabulous run through the bus stop for the number four, the grey and yellow C8R in the hands of Ollie Gavin. Yardley Hastings' fastest sports car driver came across as... all of the Europeans were mandated to a couple of weeks ago now. Moj been living with Antonio Garcia. That must have been interesting. Antonio bought himself a console and they've been having all kinds of competitive evenings in. Ollie, not a big one for cooking, I've been told. So presumably Antonio's been doing the kitchen duties there. Both BMWs now out of the pit lane. Jesse Kron and Bruno Spengler behind the wheel of the two Team RLL BMWs. Porsches coming round now for their first flying lap. Where will Nick Tandy and Lawrence Vanthoor end up as they cross the line and dive into the infield? Tandy's first flying lap, well, that's not at the moment not indicative, so they're taking a little bit more time to put heat into the tyres. And again, this is another bit of variety we've seen in the past, Jeremy. It's not unique to here at Daytona on the road course. Some of the teams go out and absolutely hammer the tyres. First of all, the Porsches, we've seen possibly a little lighter on their tyres. They'll take a couple of laps to get the Michelins up to temperature and pressure.
Indeed so. And if the BMW have to do that, then they're going to be in trouble. Because
only now
has Bruno Spengler gone through the first sector. He hasn't even got to the second sector yet on his out lap. Last time around, Jordan Taylor did improve and he snuck ahead of the number three car by 0.045 a second. Having said that, across the line goes Oliver Gavin back to the top of the charts now in the number four Corvette at 1:42.251. What a great lap by Oliver Gavin.
Ollie Gavin then right back to his best after a couple of years where he felt he wasn't getting the rub of the green and the racing gods maybe not smiling on him, but what a way to come back. He loves this place at Daytona International Speedway. So Ollie Gavin now with 0.3 of a second on his teammate, 1:42.251, the new time to beat with under 4 minutes to go now. And what can the two Porsches do? You've got to think you're going to see a time this time from Vanthoor and Tandy. They're not drafting each other on the tri-oval. Through goes Tandy, only good enough for third, only good enough for fourth for Vanthoor. So it's Corvette 4 from 3, 9.11 from 9.12, and the BMW still to put a competitive lap together. Kron and Spengler in the 24 and the 25. 25 being the red car, 24 being the black car. But still with those BMW racing stripes on, which I will not hear anybody says that if you put the M stripes on it on a car that it makes it look any worse. Black, white, red, it does not matter. They look absolutely fantastic. 24 on the high banks now, coming into the tri oval that's Jesse Kron not going to have an awful lot of time if he's messed this first lap up. He'll get another one at the end of this and possibly one more after that. But the Corvettes have already clocked up 5 and 6 laps between them. Porsches are already on their fourth lap. BMW then, straight up to fifth position, but still 3 seconds away. As through goes Ollie Gavin, he improves again. He comes into the pits. That was why it was flashing. So Ollie Gavin, that's his bet then. 142.251 is what Corvette Racing and Ollie Gavin, Jeremy Shaw, has laid down for everyone else to chase.
Exactly right, which is fractionally off the pole position record set by Nick Tandy in January, but in much cooler conditions then. That's a brilliant effort, I would say, by Oliver Gavin. There's a replay here of the number 912 Porsche. That's Lawrence Vanthoor. Is he having a moment there at the bus stop?
He came in over the curbs on the entrance and then really sliding through the first of the right-hand elements there. Those curbs to me, Jeremy, don't look quite as aggressive as they did at Daytona. I'm not sure if there's been any changes or whether the teams have just set the cars up a little more compliantly to be able to use more of the cars with the GT Le Mans machines. But certainly Larry was using a lot of curb on the way in. Jordan Taylor stayed out. Spengler up to third on his first flying lap in the 25. That's the red BMW. Corvette, BMW, Porsche, BMW.
Yeah, that's the first flying lap there by the first of the BMWs. The second one is still on its... There he goes, third fastest, right, Bruno Spengler. Yeah, that's a great effort, isn't it? First flying lap for Bruno Spengler. Wow.
So exactly what you said, Jeremy. Very different from what Porsche did, who took a couple of laps to get their Michelins up to pace. But the Motul-sponsored number 25 with the red base colour and the two-tone grey sort of aping the BMW colours on the black, the BMW Sport colours, M Sport colours on the black car. Very distinctive car we saw running in the Pro Sport iRacing series in similar colours to that. So that's sort of helped me get used to it. Tandy has just gone purple in the first sector and he's improved to a 142.7. Doesn't improve though, still sitting in fifth and sixth, the two Porsches. And I've got to say, Jeremy, with half a minute left, the Porsches will get one more lap around. That's a surprise to me from the pace that we saw from the Porsches early on.
Yeah, I agree, but it is super tight. I mean, all six cars.
Moment for Tandy going into turn one, turned down and on the transition, lost the back end of the car, did a masterful job of holding onto it. And he's going to have to get out the way of his teammate here because Lawrence Vanthoor up to fourth position with a 42.6 last time around. And this is Tandy's final lap. And I think he's already messed it up as he went down onto the infield. But
yeah, he needs to get out of the way.
Yeah, he really does. Unless he can tow his teammate round. Unless he can tow his teammate round. They've got a Corvette.
Yeah, they've lifted off.
Yeah. And the number three Corvette, Jordan Taylor, comes through down towards the West Horseshoe as well. And, I think Larry won't be happy there. So, Ollie Gavin, who again, as our GT Daytona pole sitter Corey Fergus did, came in with time to spare. And that gambit of getting those laps in early from the Corvettes. 8 laps for Jordan Taylor on his tyres. 5 for Ollie. Only 3 for Jesse Kron in the 24 car. Yeah. Bruno Spengler on his 4th lap now as well. Checkered flag is out. So the lap that you are on, you can continue with. Ollie Gavin is in the pits. Jesse Kron has not improved, so he'll be no better than the inside of row 2. Spengler's pitted, so he wasn't getting any better either. I think Ollie's been given the news here that no one's on a quicker lap with the two Porsches slowing down and his teammates not going to challenge him. So chalk up another pole position for the tall fella. Jeremy Shaw, it's Ollie Gavin and Corvette Racing that takes pole position.
Yeah, just second time out with this C8R. Brilliant effort by Oliver Gavin there. His fourth pole in IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car competition. He had won last year at Road America. He had won the year before at WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca. His other pole came here at Daytona back in 2015. So that was, of course, for the Rolex 24. But what a great effort there by the lanky Englishman, Oliver Gavin, then 142.251. Doesn't quite get the lap record away from Nick Tandy, but in the heat of July, wow, that's impressive.
Yeah, very impressive indeed. Shea, just a quick word. Are we still working on the regulations, the sporting regulations that say you've got to start on three of the four tyres on which you qualified in IMSA competition?
Yes. The only difference with that is weather potential.
Yeah.
And I have just checked the radar, and that big, scary green and red and yellow blob is moving ever closer as Ole Gavin gets out of the car and gets a big hug from Doug Feehan and celebrates with Hollywood. So congratulations to Corvette Racing. But yes, if it does rain, then whatever you did in qualifying doesn't matter. You can start on whatever tyres you choose.
Absolutely. Hello to Sarah Rigby up in Crewe in the United Kingdom, loving these hot and sexy IMSA race cars. Her words, not mine. Cheering for Ollie Gavin. So she'll be happy. Nick Tandy as well. Well, he was down in sixth position at IMSA Radio. If you want to get in touch, we're trying to get a connection with the pit lane down there at Corvette Racing at the moment, as Ollie takes off the hands device and that very distinctive helmet colour that he's had, well, ever since I've seen him race, and that's a very, very long time. And hello to Mike Murphy, both Mike Murphys, senior and junior, who are listening in the infield as we're playing out over the public address system, and I think it's 107.9, if I remember correctly, the FM frequency at Daytona International Speedway. Thanks to Mike and the rest of the technical team there for making sure that our audio is going out to the very fortunate small number of fans that are there. Sebastian Bourdais looking on from the back of the paddock at the moment. Any joy with our Corvettes, Shea Adam?
Yes, actually, I've just found Tommy Milner's Skype information. I believe he has his phone, so if I push add to call, we might be able to actually get Tommy on the line.
Okay, in the meantime then, I'll run down.
We just mentioned the weather. I was just looking at the radar a few minutes ago. Actually, it looks like there may well be a pretty biggish thunderstorm system coming in, maybe around about 5 o'clock, but according to the radar right now, it might well be gone, we hope, in time for the start of the race.
Yes, absolutely. And it sounds to me as though Shea Adam has tracked down the teammate to our pole sitter. Well, the car will start on pole position. It's Corvette Racing number 4, and Tommy Milner is with Shea Adam.
First pole position for the C8R. Tommy Milner, congratulations, by the way. Happy 4th of July for you and Ollie. That was a really impressive performance from your English teammate.
Yeah, that was, sorry, I'm having a little, this is a little different for what I'm used to here, but.
For all of us, my friend.
Super lap from Ollie there. Really good job. Obviously, difficult situation here with all of these, everything that's going on and all the work that these guys have done. Hopefully you can't hear me in the background here, but
no, you're fine. It's a different weekend too for you guys with the crew showing up, and it's a very different looking organization. What's it been like for you guys to try and adapt to doing driver changes again and the normal things like pit stops?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I mean, you know, these guys have worked so hard on the off and this little break we've had here with pit stop work and things like that. But for us as drivers, we haven't been able to do any of that until we got to the racetrack here. So it only took a couple laps, to be honest, to kind of get settled back into the race car again. And, you know, we've obviously some sim work and things like that. But I mean, more than anything, this feels really good to get back in the race car again, get back at the racetrack, see these guys that we haven't seen for so long. It's sort of like family for us, and obviously a great way to kind of cap off this long break for us at Corvette Racing to get the pole.
it's a great start to today's race. And good luck to both of you guys in the race. And please give us big digital hugs to everybody at Corvette Racing for a well-earned pole position.
Yeah, thanks, Shay.
Thanks, Tommy.
Well done, Tommy Milner and Shay Adam down there in the Corvette Racing pit lane or paddock area. Before we go into the qualifying for our DPIs, we talked a little bit earlier on about the issue that the number 10 Konica Minolta DPI had in the last practice session. Renga van der Zander was at the wheel at nearly 190 miles an hour. And earlier on, he spoke to Asher Adam.
Hey guys, yeah. So it was not ideal this morning where at the end of the new tire run, we had a flat tire on the right rear at 310 kilometers per hour. So that's always a scary one. I was able to keep it straight and somehow made it to a stop without touching any wall or a spin. So happy with that. And it was a shame because we wanted to test some items on the car. The car feels very, very good though. I mean, obviously we have a very good baseline from the 24 hour of Daytona. We try to go around a little bit and try some other stuff, and basically I think that 24-hour car is the car that we're gonna race with. So on that case, it's gonna look good. Let's see what happens to the weather. It might be wet, it might be dry, we don't know. First Ryan is gonna qualify the car, see where we are.
I was Renga van der Zander talking to Shay Adam a little bit earlier on, and I bet that woke him up if he wasn't woken up already yet. 190 miles an hour, Jeremy Shaw.
Yeah, that would be a wake-up call. You're absolutely right, and hopefully there won't be any recurrence of that this evening. And as Renga was saying there, we've no idea what the weather's likely to do. This is Florida in July, after all. It could do absolutely anything. And you know, afternoon thunderstorms are certainly a regular occurrence here. I think Shay was telling us yesterday it's the thunderstorms forecast for every single day through the month, basically. And that's the norm for this time of year, this part of the world. So, but I looked at, you know, I said, looked at the radar a little while ago. It looked like a cell should move through here. In where are we now? It's coming up for 3 o'clock local time. In about an hour or so from now, perhaps, it looks pretty nasty. But then about an hour later, with luck, it'll have cleared up again and we'll be able to go green flag racing. And the evening actually doesn't look too bad on the radar that I was looking at.
Shay Adam is our stats person and she loves a good arithmetic progression. But in terms of statistics, weather at this time of the year, Shay, not an uncommon occurrence at Daytona.
Well, it's a consistent thing. Yeah, you can set your watch by it if you live down in South Florida that it'll rain every day at 3:30 during the wet season. But in Daytona, in the last 30 years, it has rained 29 of those 30 years on July 4th. July is the wettest month of the year. It's one of the wettest months of the year, with 5.8 average inches of rain falling throughout the month. And to put that into perspective, that great rain race that we had back last year in 2019, we had 2 to 3 inches fall during that race. So imagine getting that fairly consistently in Daytona. Yeah, rain is no stranger to this place.
Yes. Absolutely right. For those asking if there will be a replay of this event, well, we'll have audio up as soon as is, well, I was going to say humanly possible, but sometimes we think Tim is superhuman. So this session will be up as soon as possible after this session, and exactly the same for the race via radio-show.co.uk. And the video archives will be up on the IMSA official YouTube channel in a few days' time as well. But if you want to catch up or you've missed anything, then make sure you have a look at radio-show.co.uk. And if you're joining us late and maybe have missed the first couple of qualifying sessions, then the opportunity to relive those in plenty of time. Before we start our Michelin countdown to green, which comes up before our live coverage of the WeatherTech 240. And in between the end of this broadcast and then on IMSA Radio RS2, we will have our previously on IMSA show, where Jeremy Shear and myself, Jeremy Shear and me, talked earlier this week, my apologies, about what's been happening in the break and the prospects for not only this race but the rest of the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship season. So previously on IMSA and a couple of other programmes as well to fill in the gap between the end of these qualifying sessions and the countdown to green. All the usual features in the Michelin countdown to green, including our Porsche Keys to the Race, will also have head of Michelin Motorsports in the North American region on the line to talk to us as well. That is all coming up. He'll be talking about the hard work, I'm sure, that's been put in by all of the crew to get everything together for this after the close down for the last few months. Underway then, and in and out. So the 10 car goes around and comes back in. Now, of course, it's Parc Fermé conditions. So is this a penalty that they're getting? Yes, it is. Pit lane speed violation, plus 6. So that's a drive-through coming from race control. So get that out of the way straight away. Now, we heard it was Ryan Briscoe in that car. Don't know if Shea managed to spot the helmet. Very dark tint on the windows, which we're not used to seeing, or darker tint on the side windows on that car as it goes out through the RFID chips for the Michelin tyres. Let's have some more of the qualifiers for you as well. In the number 6 Penske Acura, Acura Team Penske, Juan Montoya, Elio Castro Neves is out in the 7. Gabby Chavez in the Wheel and Engineering, number 31. And that's a story as well, Shea Adam. A late call-up for Gabby Chavez into that number 31 Whelan car. Fortunately, he had his gear with him.
Yeah, and for Gabby Chavez, it was an unexpected weekend because he was planning to spend the 4th of July barbecuing and spending a nice time with his wife. But nope, he's going to be driving this race car instead. So it's kind of a better thing when you consider you get to drive a Cadillac DPI on the 4th of July weekend at Daytona. But yeah, for Gabby Chavez, filling in for Felipe Nasr, who was driving up to Daytona on Thursday when he started to feel a little bit iffy. He called the team and said, guys, I think there's something wrong. They recommended that he stop and get a test. And indeed, he does have COVID-19. So Felipe Nasr back home in Miami. He's quarantining himself. It's really unfortunate because he and Pipo Durrani both came over from Brazil, narrowly made it in before the border closed. They thought that everything would be good. But right now, Felipe back at home, and we miss you, buddy. We know it's got to be difficult to see your race car going around the track. Gabby Chavez, though, a very able and capable fill-in. He's run with the Action Express organization before. He's run in this car before, and he's run in the Mustang sampling car. So he's familiar with the Cadillac, and he's looking to try and get his first ever finish at Daytona. He's run the 24 hours twice, and he thinks that maybe today will be the day he finally sees a checker.
At IMSA Radio, if you want to get in touch with us, hello to Neil. Great news about your wife's health issues. That's really good news. And please, you're settling down together to watch qualifying and the race. Hello to Tracy as well. And for those of you in other time zones where it's going to be rather late or perhaps even early in the hours of the of Sunday morning when the race gets underway, we will, as I say, have that replay for you in audio at least as soon as the race is over after we have done with Michelin post race tech. The two Multimatic, and we now can call them Multimatic, it's Mazda Motorsports, Jeremy, both out in the last session after yesterday when we were calling the first free practice session. We were rather short of a Mazda by 50% of the team didn't get out yesterday.
Indeed, so. The car we're watching here, the number 77 car of Oliver Jarvis and Tristan Nunez, the car that finished second at Daytona in January, did not get out at all yesterday evening in a one-hour practice session. There was some sort of a fuel problem on that car. The fuel apparently was contaminated. They're not quite sure why, but they figured out that's what the problem was. They took the fuel out, put some fresh fuel in, and it fired up just fine, having not run at all when they tried to do so initially for the beginning of that session. So clearly that was all sorted out because the car was very quick this morning. Indeed, it was Oliver Jarvis who turned the fastest time this morning, 134.398. That's the quickest time we've seen so far.
Barely, because we've just had a 34.390 for Elio Castro Neves. So he's come out the box very quickly indeed. Jeremy Shaw at the number 7 car, loving his time in sports cars.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, this is going to be a super battle, I think, between the Acuras and the Mazdas. The Cadillacs don't seem to quite have the ultimate pace here in qualifying, same as during the practice this morning. But I think the race is going to be a different story, as is normally the case with the Cadillacs here at Daytona. But, of course, let's go back to January just briefly. The Mazdas clearly were the class of the field in qualifying, but in a race to go 24 hours, they had to turn those Mazdas down in terms of the ultimate horsepower. So they weren't able to show that ultimate speed in the race, but it was still good enough for second place. But in the race, it was definitely the Cadillacs that had the upper hand on pace. Now, though, just 2 hours and 40 minutes this evening could be a different story.
Not the two Action Express. I knew I was going to do that. The two GDC cars now. Yeah, dollar in the jar. The two GDC cars at the moment, 7th and 8th. The GDC Miller Motorsports entered car is the number 85, Chris Miller, who was stunning yesterday. Really got up to speed very quickly indeed in the first free practice session in that bright yellow machine that's heading out onto the high banks now out of the infield section. The second JDC car is now the Mustang Sampling Racing. Remember, we did tell you about this earlier in the year, but it's been a long time, so there'll be a few reminders for all of us, and clearly I needed one as well. João Barbosa behind the wheel of the dark grey Mustang Sampling Machine, now also coming under the umbrella of JDC Miller Motorsport, but entered as Mustang Sampling Racing at the moment. About a second and a half, those two, off the excellent pace, away from the excellent pace that's been set by Elio Castro Neves, who is 0.032 seconds ahead of Ollie Jarvis, who, in a beautiful piece of symmetry, is now 0.032 seconds away from Jonathan Bomarito, his teammate. 0.064 of a second between the top three. And people... João Barbosa, excuse me, going through the bus stop last time around and giving those curbs a right old hammer, Jeremy. So they are trying to find time early on, and basically if they haven't got the speed down the straights, they're just taking the most direct line around the circuits.
Absolutely, using every inch of the track and more. There is João Barbosa, and he's brought their car onto the infield now, so it looks like I don't know if he's caused any damage, but it looks like he's on his way back to the pit lane. His teammate Chris Miller in the number 85 car, you talked about him. He is one of the few drivers that actually got a little bit of racing in during the downtime. He took part in the June sprints at Road America in a Formula Continental car and won the race there. June Sprints, the SCCA June Sprints, is a long-time major event at Road America in the amateur racing ranks. So Chris at least has got some miles under his belt. And he's done a good job all weekend. But right now, it's still Elio Castro Neves at the top by the slimmest of margins. Oliver Jarvis here trying to redress that balance.
Yeah, and he's just done the fastest middle sector last time around. That's the sector that he's going into now as he comes through the right-handed 180-degree hairpin at the eastern end of the circuit, the International Horseshoe, as it's called. Now, down through the dogleg, the kink, if you will, that left-hander, should probably in qualifying, is absolutely flat in these prototypes. In fact, it will be. Now into the west end of the circuit, and then that short shoot positions the car to the middle and then the right hand side of the road before turning in. Nasty bump there on the surface change, and then climbing up onto the high banks of what is normally NASCAR turns 1 and 2, holding the car down towards the yellow line. He'll drift up towards the wall as he comes out of NASCAR turn 2 and points the car down the back straight towards the left, right, right, left of the bus stop, and that's where he is now, looking on the catch fencing on his right-hand side for the countdown markers. Hammers the curb on the left, a little more circumspect with the curb on the right-hand side, and then absolutely hammers the outbound curve as well. As Castro Neves, by the way, has come into the pit lane with 4 minutes to go. Is this another, Jeremy Shaw, is this another bit of confidence here from the early pace setter?
Yeah, no, I think he's done it. He's got the most out of that Acura as Helio Castroneves. He's happy with that. That lap by Oliver Jarvis was not quick at all. He lifted off towards the end of the lap. There's no improvement in the first sector. He's going to try for one more, though, see if he can string another one together here. He's the previous time, he's turned two laps at about a tenth of a second apart. 134.422 was his quickest, followed by 134.5. But that last lap, he lifted off in that final sector to the 139.7, did Oliver Jarvis. But here he is now heading through the kink and into turn into the West Horseshoe. This first split time was pretty good, but not quite as quick as Helio Castroneves.
Alan Prosser telling us the Cadillac was rattling loudly before the bus stop last time around, as though something might have been dragging on the floor. Maybe. Or maybe he'd hit the pit lane speed limiter by accident. Coming through now through the bus stop, the number 10, Conic Minolta car, looking shiny and black and with a little more colour on that car than I remember seeing in seasons past. Certainly the whole top of the fin now in that very pretty Conic Minolta blue. And down the back straight now onto the final part of the speedway. Tracking very nicely. Sorry, Jeremy, say again.
I think Jarvis is done. He's on his way back into the pits now. I think he was slow through the second sector on this lap. So I think he's done. The only two cars really that we're going to leave on the track are the number 10 of Ryan Briscoe, as we're watching him there go through the East Horseshoe. He's currently in the sixth position with a 1:35.337. That was his best lap last Correct. Time around. It was his seventh lap around, but not going to trouble the leaders with that.
The Joao Barbosa car sitting with a 35.7 in seventh position at the moment. But the top three separated still by that 0.064 a second. Shall we call it half a tenth? I think we can. I think I can take allowance on that. 0.032 between first and second, 0.032 between second and third, add those together, 0.064, and then 0.078 back to Juan Montoya in fourth position. Front two rows separated by a tenth and a half as Ryan Briscoe clatters the curbs in the bus stop and comes back round again with a minute and 10 seconds or thereabouts still on the track. He can take another lap after this one if he wants to. But is he still going to have the performance in the Michelin tyres? Remember the slightly higher temperature tyres are being used here this weekend, so you will get a little bit more longevity out of them.
Yeah, and I think he'd be happy to do that, John, because having missed out on most of that last session with a tyre failure
Good
earlier
point.
On, he only did eight laps this morning in practice, so he'll be quite happy to turn as many laps as he possibly can in this session and make sure that car is good and fast and consistent for the race. He just turned his best lap, actually, the best of the Cadillacs there for Ryan Briscoe last time around at 135.051. So that was a couple and a half tenths quicker than the Gabby Chavez who turned in number 31 car. So there's a feather in a cap for Conic Minolta Cadillac.
Red flag has just come out and Ryan Briscoe had improved before that happened. Already Helio Castroneves is celebrating and he's got the Team Penske face mask on. He's hammering the helmet. He's punching the air with delight, because that's what Helio Castroneves does. He enjoys everything about life and particularly everything about motor racing. He's the man who has a smile on his face even when things are going wrong, and things are going decidedly right for Helio at the moment. Pointing at his team and a little applause from him to his team, saying, you don't have to know what he's saying under that mask, Jeremy. He's saying, thank you for giving me a good car, guys.
Yeah, I love it. He's just a wonderful character, as Helio Castroneves. An absolute star in every single way, use of the word. And what a drive that was here. It was tight out there. But yeah, he'll be thrilled not only to put that car on pole position, but also to be just a hair quicker, four-tenths quicker, actually, than Juan Pablo Montoya in the sister car. So hats off to Helio. This is his fourth pole position in the IMSA WeatherTech Championship. He's had one in each of his previous three seasons. Had one at he was on pole at Road Atlanta for Petit Le Mans in 2017. He was on the pole in 2018 at Mid-Ohio, went on to win that race, and then was also on the pole and then finished second at Long Beach in 2019. So keeping that streak alive is Elio Castroneves.
Well, Shea Adam has got his teammate on the line. Shea, take it over.
Well, let's try and connect with Ricky Taylor in Daytona. We don't need to know what Elio is smiling like under that mask. We've seen it so many times before. But for the Acura Team Penske team, what does it mean for you guys to come away with a pole position after the first race back in 5 months?
Oh, man, it's unbelievable. I mean, Elio always does an amazing job all the time, but qualifying is really a specialty. And he put together an unbelievable lap there. I mean, from this morning, we were thinking, how can we find 3 tenths to get the pole? And he dug deep, and he got it. We were working hard in this motorhome, trying to find some things in the data and video, and the whole team just doing an awesome job, focusing on all the little details. So far, last night, this morning, and then over the last whatever it is, 5 or 6 months.
So what was the difference then to find those 3 tenths? Did you not let him have any lunch?
Actually, I was eating pasta and chicken and salad and all sorts. And he's like, I got to stay light. So he actually did just have a sandwich. So there's a little bit too that he wanted to be light. So we'll go back. And it's such a weird weekend. We're going to go back in the motorhome, microwave our pre-made dinners, and then we'll be ready for the race.
You've got a very good Acura underneath you for the one lap pace, but with what you found this morning, do you think that's given you a better all around race car?
Yeah, I think everybody knows that the heat and the tire wear is something we struggle with. That the Acura ARX 05 has always been really strong with one lap pace and getting the most out of the tire. We do have a couple little changes that we can make for the race to suit the long run. Hopefully it cools down a little bit. Hopefully the rain stays away, and we should be in with a really good fight.
Yeah, I don't know if you're going to get lucky with that rain staying away, but good luck for the race later, and thanks for chatting with us, Ricky.
Great, thank you.
Brilliant stuff. Well done to everybody at Penske. So it's Penske Acura from the two Mazdas and the second Acura. That'll be the front two rows for the WeatherTech 240 in GT Le Mans. Ollie Gavin takes the pole for Chevy Corvette ahead of his teammate in the number 3 car. And in GTD, McLaren take their first GT3 GT Daytona pole position ahead of Aaron Tielitz in the Lexus, then it's BMW and Lexus behind them. Michelin Countdown to Green is our next broadcast on RS2, and that will bring the whole community back together again on IMSA Radio and IMSA TV for the WeatherTech 240 from Daytona.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production.
Tell your friends there's more at RadioLeMans.com.